Chapter 9. It was 10 o'clock when Nia took Romeo for his final evening walk. She'd received a text from Safi asking if they could video call at about 11, and she knew she'd easily be back by then. It would be good to talk to Safi properly, see how she was getting on. It was a quiet, still night. The only light she could see shone from Lucy and Ian's next door, and Nia guessed Lucy was home, while Ian and Richie would be swimming. Joe had shut up shop and must be off fishing. There were no lights on in the vets, no cars parked next to the surgery, and Nia wondered where Ethan and Elvira might be this late. Surely the nursing home Elvira visited would want visitors out well before 10, and would Ethan really be this late at the rescue centre? Nia walked towards the town square and followed the now familiar route to the beach. It was very dark, and Nia hesitated, wondering if they'd be better walking along the pier. However, Romeo was pulling her, and so she took out her phone to use as a torch to guide them down the steps. She let him off the lead, knowing he'd not venture into the sea. Suddenly she became aware of someone huddled up on the pebbles, their back to the harbour wall. They had lit a candle that was propped up among a circle of stones flickering in the wind. Nia was nervous, wondering what they were doing there, and was about to call Romeo when the person called out her name and she realised who it was. Walking over to her, she said, "My God, Ruby, you scared me. What are you doing sitting down here on your own?" "I do this sometimes. Come down with a candle, sit and think. In any case, I said earlier I'd be down here. Not that I really expect the person who made the phone call to come now." Nia sat down, the stones cold, noticing the strong smell of the dry seaweed strewn here above the tide line. "I have to admit, most people looked pretty frightened by what you said. I guess we all have secrets we'd rather not share." Nia was aware of Ruby pouring whiskey from a bottle into a small, sturdy glass. It disturbed Nia to see her drinking like this, and she remembered Ian saying there had been vodka in Ruby's glass at the party. It surprised Nia. She'd not thought of Ruby as someone who would be drinking spirits. As if reading her mind, Ruby said, "It's okay, I don't do this often, and see, I measure it out. I allow myself some alcohol for solace occasionally." She held the glass out to Nia. "Join me." Nia took the glass and knocked back the drink. It burnt the back of her throat, but as Ruby refilled the glass, Nia drank another before handing it back. "How are things with Richie?" Nia asked gently. "Have you managed to talk to him again since the party?" Ruby started to pile little pebbles one on top of the other. "I couldn't face any more today." Her face crumpled in sadness. "I don't understand how he could do it. Richie has always talked about integrity. I don't understand how he could betray not just me, but everything he believes in." "But you want to try and save your marriage?" "Of course. I want to forgive him, but of course he has to be prepared to make changes as well. If we can do that, it's possible our marriage will be even stronger." At that moment, the pile of stones collapsed. Ruby turned back to Nia. "I won't give up on us, in the same way as I won't give up on the person who rang the helpline. I did think about what people said. Maybe there is a better way to approach this person. I had an idea."
"And that is?"
"I've written the person a letter."
"Wow, a letter?"
"Yes, I know it seems a bit old-fashioned, but I think there is something special about letters. Texts and social media are so impersonal."
Ruby pulled out a piece of A4 paper from her bag and read it to Nia.
"Hi, I'm sorry if I made a mistake talking to everyone today. I know you're angry that you accidentally told me about your problems on the helpline, but maybe it was meant to be. I really want to help you. I can't act like nothing has happened. Please talk to me before it is too late. Love, Ruby."
"You're very worried about this person, aren't you?" said Nia.
"I am."
Ruby took the letter back and folded it, then carefully picked up the candle, rested it between some rocks, and in a very ritualistic way, poured some of the red wax to seal the letter. Nia noticed Ruby slip off the ring Richie's father had given her. "I think this person deserves my best ring," she said. She pressed it carefully into the molten wax, and even in the dim light, Nia could make out the imprint of a woman's face and the letter R. Before putting the ring back on her finger, Ruby took a cloth and wiped it. "I forgot to clean this earlier. I must do it later," she added. And then she slid the ring back on. But she didn't appear to have finished. She ran her hands over the pebbles, occasionally picking one up, examining it by the light of the candle. Each time she shook her head until finally she kept one. "That's the one I want." She showed it to Nia. "See this? It's a fossil, part of an ammonite. This could be 450 million years old. It came from the sea, and the creature fossilized in this has survived, and all this time the island has held on to it, preserved it. I find that very comforting." Ruby picked up the candle and poured the remaining wax onto a large stone in the shape of a heart. She did it carefully, filling in the shape. "There, my love letter to the sea," she said, and placed the stone carefully down beside her. "What would I do without it? Sometimes it feels like the sea is the only one who understands me." She turned to Nia, tears now weaving their way down her face. "I am confused. I try so hard to do what is right, but it's never enough, is it? I am never enough. I still can't forget that voodoo doll I was sent."
"You still don't know who sent it?"
"No. Today, when I was talking at the party, I looked around, trying to figure out which one of them could have sent it. Who there hated me? I could see anger on their faces, but who hates me? I could feel it, but I didn't know where it was coming from. As I said, when I threw the doll in the sea, the hate is still here, the hate remains. I read somewhere that hate hurts the hater more than the person they hate. Maybe it's true, but I tell you, Nia, knowing someone out there hates me hurts like hell. I hate myself enough as it is. I don't need anyone else doing it."
The words echoed into the darkness like the noise of a lost, injured animal howling into the night.
"I am so sorry," said Nia, close to tears herself. "I wish there was something I could do to help." "You are here, thank you."
The wind was gathering. The glass that was resting on a stone as Ruby refilled it started to topple. They both went to grab it at the same time, and Ruby accidentally spilt whiskey on Nia's sleeve. Nia shook her arm, but Ruby seemed oblivious. Aware she was getting cold, Nia wrapped her arms around herself. Romeo had also cuddled up next to her.
"It looks like it's time for you to go," said Ruby. "I don't want to leave you. Please, I'll be okay, and I need some time on my own."
"Well, Safi will be phoning in a minute. Come with me. You can even stay overnight with me if you want."
"No, I'll go back to talk again to Richie. I'll just get my head sorted out first."
Ruby poured herself some more whiskey.
"Don't worry, I won't be finishing the bottle. Promise me you'll go home soon."
Ruby looked away.
"Please, Ruby, go home. Look, after this call with Safi, I shall come back to check up on you, but it would be much better if you go home now. We can talk again tomorrow."
Ruby wiped her tears and gave a sad smile.
"You are a good woman, Nia. Thank you."
Reluctantly, Nia stood up and made her way up the steps. As she did, she stumbled on one of them and fell into a fisherman who was making his way down the pier. She muttered apologies and carried on home. Just as she turned the corner, she thought she heard the crunch of shingle on the beach. She staggered home, exhausted but anxious. She went inside, turned on her laptop. Hopefully this wouldn't take long, and then she could get back to Ruby and check up on her.